You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
With the civilian death toll in Lebanon now estimated to be close to 1,000 people, many nations are joining the Lebanese government in calling for an immediate ceasefire in the region. But Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister Peter MacKay says that a ceasefire isn't possible until other conditions have been met. This mirrors the U.S. and Israeli positions that Lebanon isn't ready for a ceasefire. Daniel Freeman Malloy is an Ontario student, writer, and activist. He belongs to the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid, as well as the Palestinian Solidarity Coalition at York University. He joins me this morning from his home in Toronto. Hi, Daniel.
Hello.
Since the recent crisis began, the Harper government has shown almost unwavering support for the actions of Israel. Is this what we should have expected from the federal conservatives?
Well, a lot of the support should have been expected, but the extent of it has indeed been remarkable. The trend of Canadian support for Israel, particularly in its fight against the Palestinians, but the people of the region generally, has been building up for some time. The Martin Liberals laid a really solid foundation in terms of pro-Israel diplomacy at the United Nations, in terms of building up a preferential trade relationship through arrangements like the Canada-Israel Free Trade Agreement, and on down a list. Now, for years, it's been very clear that if the Conservatives took power, they would be extending this. But again, just how dramatically they've done that is remarkable. People may recall the Harper government's diplomacy around this, having had its tone set by Prime Minister Harper's declaration that the massive Israeli assault on Lebanon was a measured exercise of Israel's right to defend itself. And as the death toll in Lebanon has mounted to nearly 1,000 now, that tone has remained very, very firm. The support has, as you've said, been unwavering. And I think what we're seeing is, as part of the general shift to make Canadian foreign policy more hardline, more, frankly, racist, and more closely aligned with the United States, the effort to use foreign policy around Israel as just a main way of pushing that forward. So we had, as an early attempt around Afghanistan, General Rick Hillier's claim that the people that Canadians were fighting in Afghanistan were just detestable murderers and scumbags. And now we're seeing this recycled and put on the front pages by Peter MacKay with his recent statement as Foreign Affairs Minister that the people Israel's fighting in Lebanon are just cold-blooded murderers, Hezbollah is a cancer on Lebanon, and of course we need to support Israel in its fight despite the fact that it's killing hundreds of civilians, destroying critical national infrastructure, and on down the list. So I guess, in short, that the support was going to be extended for Israel was predictable. But again, it is surprising just how unabashed the support has been.
You've recently written articles criticizing the Canadian media for its pro-Israel stance. Do you think the media is responding to a more pro-Israel federal foreign policy, or in fact trying to influence this policy in public opinion?
Well, I mean, in an institutional sense, it's kind of, I think, part of the same trend. To a very significant degree, the government and the media represent shared interests. And the national media, papers like the Globe are very open that what they're trying to do is cater to the upper class of Canadian society, to the people who advertisers will pay the most to be looking at the pages where they're going to be putting their ads in, right? So what you've seen is you've seen those strata, that class in Canada shifting towards support for Israel and support for alignment with the United States. And that, I think, reflects and certainly influences the government's position as well. So in some instances, though, it's just ridiculously naked. For example, the National Post. Here we have a paper which was founded by two of Canada's leading Israel lobbyists, Israel Asper and Gerald Schwartz. And I don't know if people have been looking at the Post coverage, but at this point, it's just openly an organ for pro-Israel propaganda. So I do think it's definitely influencing Canadian government policy, but it's at the same point, it's also just a reflection of a broad shift on the part of the Canadian political class as a whole in terms of reflecting this contempt for Palestinian life, contempt for Lebanese life, and uncritical support for Israel.
Does this shift also represent a change in overall broader Canadian public opinion?
Well, it's hard to say. there are different polls, but again, polls can be made to say most anything. So earlier, when the Liberal government was shifting support for Israel in ways that were quite dramatic already, before the Harper government just came in and made it all the more ridiculous, there was one of the main Canadian Israel lobby groups, the Canada Israel Committee, commissioned a poll which came out in late 2004. And this poll indicated that Canadian public opinion was significantly lagging behind the government in its support for Israel, that there was a widespread perception that Canadian support for Israel was, that Israel was associated with terrorist organizations, that the Canadian government should be neutral was the majority stance in terms of public opinion, as the poll revealed, and that people perceived that the government was moving towards overt pro-Israel partisanship and had a problem with that. Now, it's unclear how things have shifted. I've heard conflicting reports in terms of polls as to whether the Harper government stance is hurting it in terms of opinion polls, whether people are increasingly being brought behind the media's pro-Israel position, which is just getting hammered away at in ridiculous ways day in, day out. So it's kind of hard to say, but again, what we're seeing, though, is a lot of the public opinion that the Harper government is caring about is sort of Bay Street, is the mainstream corporate Canada. And we are seeing, I think, around Israel, a remarkable shift with some major tycoons being won to the conservatives from the Liberal Party over this Israel policy. So in terms of public opinion as a whole, it's hard to tell, but excuse me, I have a cold. But I think there's definitely room for maneuver, and a lot of people who are angry, as demonstrations of thousands and thousands with momentum growing have shown.
Do you think that Canadian politicians or other political or public figures are scared to publicly criticize Israel's actions too much?
Well, certainly. I mean, there's a quite well-organized apparatus that is designed to smear anybody who dares to do that. That having been said, there's been very, very promising moves in that direction, particularly from the labor movement, particularly from the Canadian Union of Public Employees, which in British Columbia has long taken a quite decent stand on Israel-Palestine, and in Ontario has just taken quite a strong stand calling for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel until recognizing that Israel has a system of ethnic and national discrimination, which is apartheid, and calling for the return of refugees, for a democratic system, and on down the line. But generally, the leadership has been very, very, very hesitant to criticize. There's a particularly pronounced silence when it comes to killing of Palestinians, when it comes to the starvation of Gaza. A lot of people have been speaking a little bit more in terms of even mainstream parties, from the NDP, the Bloc, even to a degree the Liberals, against just how naked the Harper government's support for Israeli aggression in Lebanon has been. But we still see the same silence over the hundreds who have been killed in Gaza and the ongoing starvation. I just went to there was the sort of pro-Israel tycoon-led opposition, or I guess not opposition, they're pretty close to government, organized a recent rally in Toronto where there was a speaker who very openly spoke to this, saying, as the pro-Israel movement, as the Israel advocacy movement, we have to ensure that the litmus test for all Canadian politicians is support for Israel, and that they step out of line to mobilize against them. So I think that pressure is felt, but at the same time, if these people had integrity on any of the issues they're facing, which generally they don't, there would be a lot that they could do. And in the meantime, I think there's a lot we can do in terms of pressuring from the grassroots.
One thing that did happen this week was the Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs voted for an immediate ceasefire in the Middle East, which was supported by opposition members and opposed by the Conservatives. Do you think that this shows a move towards a more balanced approach?
Well, there's been a lot of talk from the Liberal Party and from sort of centrist opinion about a return to Canada's balanced approach. But I think it's worth bearing in mind that Canada has long abandoned the balanced approach. It had some sort of balanced rhetoric for some time, but for years, pro-Israel partisanship has been guiding Canadian foreign policy in the Middle East. In terms of the demand for a ceasefire, certainly the Bush administration's model and Israel's model with the Harper government in following behind quite happily, is to give this window for Israel to just brutally bomb Lebanon, to ethnically cleanse the south of Lebanon, and to just continue doing this with a green light, with arms shipments coming from the States, and the massacres just mounting up every day. But the calls for a ceasefire also need to be very critically examined. A lot of the mainstream calls we're getting for a ceasefire have to do with, they center on United Nations Resolution 1559, and have to do with some sort of international force being mandated to support the Lebanese government in disarming Hezbollah, and basically trying to sideline Hezbollah and the southern Lebanese resistance in another way, while still reflecting, I think, a very pro-Israel position. I think until there's increasing recognition, I mean, we've got this line hammered in again and again by McKay that Hezbollah's cold-blooded murderers and savages, he didn't say savages, excuse me, a cancer on Lebanon. But I think we need to recognize that we've got a population that's united behind the resistance of Hezbollah in many respects, and we can think what we want of it. I'm not saying people need to come rally in support, but as long as what's being discussed is this notion of the Lebanese government needs to assert its sovereignty and push these forces out of southern Lebanon, and I think until we have a recognition of the political reality in Lebanon and a willingness to allow people in Lebanon to determine the terms of their politics, some of the discussion around ceasefire is going to be pretty superficial. So I guess I'm saying that I don't think the ceasefire rhetoric necessarily reflects a balanced approach, and we'll see how in the coming weeks how much teeth it has in terms of people really pursuing it in the face of opposition.
How can organizations who oppose Israel's actions, and as well as the Canadian positions, get more political power and become more active in successfully opposing this?
Well, I think in 2005, a very, very strong call came out of Palestine. It was endorsed by about 170 civil society groups, including the labor movement almost in its entirety, from the Palestinian General Federation of Trade Unions on down. And that call was very simply for identification of Israel as an apartheid state that needed to be subject to boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And that movement has been growing, and I think we need to take some lessons from how things worked in the movement against South African apartheid. Now, some people are made uncomfortable by that analogy, but the South African anti-apartheid movement has almost in its entirety forwarded that message. And I think what we're seeing in Israel, and this isn't just a matter of stopping the bombing in southern Lebanon, this is a matter of there's the bombing in southern Lebanon, there's the continued suffocation economically of the millions of Palestinians in the occupied territories in the West Bank and Gaza, thousands of Palestinian political prisoners in Israeli jails, Palestinian refugees for no legal reason being denied their right to return to their homes. And I think until these root problems are addressed, we need to be heeding the call coming from the Palestinian National Movement and pressing for a comprehensive movement for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel until those apartheid policies are dismantled. Now, there's been some promising moves in that respect on the part of groups like CUPE, and supporting that is crucial. There's been people who've had terrible positions in the labor movement, like Buzz Hargrove, the Canadian auto workers, who need to be pressured. And it all, I think, depends on where people find themselves on their campuses, in their churches, in their workplaces, wherever people are, just trying to get institutions to pass resolutions in favor of boycott, divestment, and sanctions, and then also just trying to do the normal things in terms of organizing public speaking events, organizing demonstrations, educating ourselves and others, all the sort of stuff that's required in building a social movement to challenge these policies. But I think what's been very clear is that despite, and I guess this is what I was trying to get at, perhaps not so clearly in terms of the ceasefire rhetoric coming from sort of centrist Canada, is that I think over the years it's been very clear as this pro-Israel position has built up that opposition to this support for Palestinian self-determination, support for the people of the region, is not going to come from the Canadian political establishment. And we need outside of that to be building grassroots movements as the only thing that we can really preserve the integrity of and sort of stake our hopes in.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us today, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with writer and activist Daniel Freeman Malloy. This is Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.